Hearts in Atlantis, Disc 19.
A few other folks were emerging from their air-conditioned life pods. A woman in a severe brown business suit standing by a severe brown BMW. A gold bracelet and silver earrings summarizing the summer sunlight, all but tapping one cordovan high heel with impatience. She caught Sully's eye, rolled her own heavenward as if to say, "Isn't this typical?" and glanced at her wristwatch, also gold, also gleaming. A man astride a green Yamaha crotch rocket killed his bike's raving engine, put the bike on its kickstand, removed his helmet and placed it on the oil-stained pavement next to one foot pedal. He was wearing black bike shorts and a sleeveless shirt with property of the New York Knicks printed on the front. Sully estimated this gentleman would lose approximately 70% of his skin if he happened to dump the crotch rocket at a speed greater than 5 miles an hour while wearing such an outfit. "Bummer, man," the crotch rocket guy said. "Must be an accident. Hope it's nothing radioactive," and laughed to show he was joking. Up ahead, in the far left lane, what would be the fast lane when traffic was actually moving on this stretch of highway, a woman in tennis whites was standing beside a Toyota with a No Nukes bumper sticker on the left side of the license plate and one reading House Cat, the other white meat, on the right. Her skirt was very short. Her thighs were very long and brown, and when she pushed her sunglasses up, propping them in her blonde-streaked hair, Sully got a look at her eyes. They were wide and blue and somehow alarmed. It was a look that made you want to stroke her cheek or perhaps give her a one-armed brother hug and tell her not to worry. Everything was going to be all right. It was a look Sully remembered well. It was the one that had turned him inside out. It was Carol Gerber up there. Carol Gerber. In sneakers and a tennis dress. He hadn't seen her since one night in late 1966 when he'd gone over her house and they'd sat on the sofa along with Carol's mother, who had smelled strongly of wine, watching TV. They had ended up arguing about the war, and he had left. "I'll go back and I'll see her again when I'm sure I can stay cool," he remembered thinking as he drove away in his old Chevrolet. Even back then he'd been a Chevrolet man. But he never had. By late 66, she was already up to her ass in anti-war shit. That much she'd learned during her semester in Maine, if nothing else, and just thinking about her was enough to make him furious. Fucking little empty-headed idiot was what she was. She'd swallowed all that communist anti-war propaganda hook, line, and sinker. Then, of course, she'd joined that nutty group, that MSP, and had high-sided it completely.